Vikings. Oh, Minnesota Vikings football fans, the Purple People Eaters edition of the Living in Loserville podcast returns. And oh, what a week a difference makes. I just said that backwards. I'm all messed up. Something was up with the recording device there, so I had to say this beginning a couple of times. But man, a week goes by in Loserville, and look what kind of stuff we got to deal with here. Oh my goodness gracious. The, you know, losing in Packerville, in Lambeau Field, in Green Bay, not the biggest deal, as we know, historically speaking, not a big deal. Under Zimmer, they've been really good just in general. I had all these stats ready just in case the Vikings did win and you know, put this 6-1-1, and they haven't, you know, beaten us since 2016, late 2016. Yeah, that's all put to rest. 21-16, and the NFL is a funny place at times. First of all, the rules change every week or every year, and we still don't know really what a catch is, and now we don't know what an offensive pass interference is. So this is going to be fun all year. Can't wait. I'm still glad you can, in college football, still hit a quarterback without getting thrown out of the game. So yeah, 21-16. It's really funny how it basically started very similar last week, just the opposite. And I'm talking about the Atlanta game, obviously. We got up 21-0 before you knew it. Difference was we stepped on their neck, and Green Bay didn't step on the Vikings' neck until late. Actually, we kind of did our own thing. So we're going to obviously start with recapping this ugly game that was entertaining but ugly. You know, it's nice that they made a run back, no doubt about it. Should have really won this game, even though they played like horseshit half the game. And they kind of spread it around, whether it was the defense looking horrible early, whether it was the offense coming back and then making some really stupid penalties, or were they penalties? Defense, just in general through these two games, not defense, I kind of messed that up, but penalties in general. Dumb plays on defense, though, for penalties-wise, I should say. Those were more legit than the couple offensive ones. But penalties this year, you know, under Zimmer's time here as head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, we've been pretty damn good. We've been, you know, top tier, not many penalties, and it's been the opposite. Now, like I said, there's about two or three that you're like, especially two, where you're like, all right, dude, so what are we calling this week? You know, that type of thing. But we will review this game. Like I said, they spread it around. You know, Cousins made some off-schedule plays that he never makes, but then he throws the pick, you know, late in the game that was not even a jump ball situation. You know, the offensive line looking great running, not so much passing, protecting. We couldn't stop the run defensively. Just a variety of stuff that we will recap. Of course, we got to look, you know, till next week. There is a next week. The sun will come up tomorrow. Technically, we're playing the Raiders at home. So that should be a very winnable game. But like I said, we're going to break down this here Purple People Eaters podcast, part of the Living in Loserville podcast in general. We're going to break this thing down. But real quick, if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, Viking stuff, right? The Purple People Eaters, it's available on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoveradio. It streams live and archives right there. That's the headquarters. So you can, you know, find this show under the Ropeadove Radio podcast. You can go to Player FM. You can go to iTunes, aka Apple Podcasts. Tune in. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Now, if you looked for it last week, I guess it wasn't there like it normally was. So we'll get that figured out. But we are part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. Like I said, you can find it really everywhere. iTunes, Player FM. You can also use Siri or Alexa through TuneIn or Spotify. You can check us on Spotify, iHeartRadio for the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network as well. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's betnow.eu. They got a promo code TGT. And real quick, quick. We're going to get into this. But if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you have already and you're not happy, try AT&T Now. It's a cable streaming service. You get the 7-day free trial. The plans only start at $50. They include HBO. You can stream it anywhere. And it does have the cloud DVR. Check it out. AT&T Now. It's not DirecTV Now. There's been some corporation, misfunctions in a sense. No, some mergers. AT&T Now is that cable streaming. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host and see what's on his mind. What's going on, Aaron? Another week, a disappointing loss, a game that, being that it was 21-0, I really liked how the defense tightened up, how we stuck to the running game, how we started opening up the passing game finally. Didn't really have, much there in the first half with passing, Cook shining and whatnot. But 21-0, that generally means the way we're built, that we're screwed. So I like that they came back. A couple different times, it feels like the Vikes should have won this game. All in all, it sucks, but I can see light on the other side is what I'm saying, as long as we get some things fixed. What says you about this comeback just short of a victory, unfortunately, 21-16 loss to the dreaded, hateful, drunken Green Bay Packers?
Well, it really was a Vikings game. I mean, filled with all the usual calamity that goes along with that. It's, we had kicking woes, questionable penalties, a lot of lost hopes and dreams all wrapped up into a three-hour display of two halves, really, in first half and second half. So, you really feel like we're at loss one now, and it's sort of a bit of doom and gloom. But, we'll go back and remind ourselves that it's week two. And, we got out of Lambeau relatively healthy in most part. So I guess what you can say going forward is, let's get on to game three and see the Raiders.
Nice. That is a good point. And we're not going 13-3 this year. But remember, folks, at home and on Twitter especially, Twitter's just an evil but yet great place. but they were 2-2, the Vikings, and went 13-3. Now, we're not going 13-3. Should I have to say it for a third time in like 9 seconds? We're not going 13-3. That's not what we're saying. That's not what I'm saying. It just, like you said, there is still hope. There was some good taken out of it, but we'll start with the ugly. And right away, first freaking play, Adams wide open. Actually kind of a crafty play. We were in zone. Rhodes kind of like covered his area and said, all right, you got him. And Adams kind of snuck right instead of left. Harrison thought he was going left. You could see. And it was just a big play right off the bat, followed by a big run. Next thing you know, it's 7-0. And you're thinking, wow, well, that kind of sucked. Usually the Vikings defense, even if they're giving up yards, they're pretty stymie in the red zone. And that just wasn't the case for most of the, first half, obviously. Then second half, they tightened up. So, okay, no big deal. Cook looks good early, looking great overall. We had a missed field goal on a nice drive. Next thing you know, 11 play drive, 63 yards. It's 14 to zip, and you're like, all right, dude, so what's going on? Cousins is, actually making a playoff schedule, which we haven't seen much. So for some reason passes the marker and then decides to jump instead of slide. Could have had an issue right there as far as, the fumble we did. I think the next play or the play after, sack strip. Before you know it, it's sitting at 21-0 and you're like, what the hell is going on? Now, thankfully, we just had to give it to, to Cook, and he went 75 yards. It's 21-7. Now we're starting to get into it. And sure, Harrison may have had a little miscommunication where he thought Adams was going to go. I remember them showing the replay that day. Even the people that had studied the tape earlier on the Packers said, that was kind of a little trick that they did, a little wrinkle that they added this week. Bottom line is Harrison Smith really shined today, or yesterday, I should say. Thought he played very well. The defense started holding at that time. Right. We did manage to get a field goal in there. It's 21-10. And one of the key things besides the defense just looking out of sorts was the first down yardage for Green Bay. And overall, not being able to stop the run, which is something that we don't necessarily see. Now, are we number one? Do we have the Williams wall up there and back to back, you know, number one, and historically speaking, one of the better defensive lines, especially on the interior, several years back? No, we don't have that. But we're not known to be like 28th in run either. I think we were 6th or 7th last year. But they were just gouging the Vikings defense, Aaron, early and often, and especially on first down. And we know if you get behind it on first down as a defense, not as an offense, that's keeping it on schedule, it's going to be a long afternoon, and it was in the first half.
Yeah, the first half was rough, and you were mentioning Kirk and running with the ball, and then you drop it, and he's really got some ball security issues that start to make you feel a little bit worried about games in the future. Something's going on. I don't know what to really say about Cousins. I kind of want to hold a few more games before I cast any real judgment about it. But, you know, Harrison making a blunder, I mean, it's going to happen. You finish out the rest of the game. I think the real star of the game was Mike Zimmer being able to throw in the defensive adjustments that were necessary to keep the game at a reasonable length. And then, you know, Dalvin Cook breaking that big run to really get us back into the ball game was really the story of that first half for me. It was a lot of watching the defense kind of flounder and trying to figure out what Green Bay wanted to do. And I think they kind of figured it out and, you know, went through the rest of the game. They built themselves a 21-point hole, but they were able to scratch back in it. That was a plus. And then with Zimmer's adjustments, you've seen that a lot with him, how he'll, you know, the team will jump out 14-0, 21-0, and then they'll just clamp down. They'll figure out what they're doing, and the defense will clamp down. And it's really nice and refreshing, I bet, to play for him, knowing that he's not going to keep you out there, you know, getting beat 51-0, you know, because you can't figure out what the offense is doing.
Right. And like you said, we can do that. We do make adjustments. However, we're not really known to have, even under his, you know, watch, to have that comeback ability when you're down 3 touchdowns. That's something that even last year, get down 10 zip or shit for a while, that Seattle game was like 6-3 or 6-0 or whatever. Like we you know, getting over that hump is like, we're not going to be able to do it. We're not built that way. We need to keep running. I did like how they kept running. Some of the frustrating things though, even in that first half beyond, you know, once we got it to 21-7 was, then the Vikings defense, like we said, stood up. They created a fumble, and right away, three plays out, three and out. Now defense came right back and got a three and out. Then we three and out. Then we basically three and out because we threw, you know, a pick. And that first pick was not a great toss because it could have just went to Rudolph. And I'll say this about Cousins in this game. We'll talk more about this as well, but last year, people were saying the only reason why is, you know, he's got a high percentage is because he checks down. He goes through all his reads and he checks down. Well, yesterday, there was like 2 or 3 moments where it's like, check it down, dude. Check it down. No, just check it down. And it's like, I really hope he's not feeling that Twitter pressure, you know, and saying, you know what? We do got to make plays. I'm going for it. Now, maybe it was the fact that they were down in the game. And, you know, and they had been three and out a couple times and they finally got the mojo going. But I noticed a couple of times, like, just go to Rudolph, dude. That may not be a first down. But it wasn't, he kind of tightly knitted it in there. There's probably like an extra guy around there. In fact, that's what Zimmer said. He could have got fooled on the extra guy, usually not right there. They do run that play a lot. In fact, that was very similar play how he scored, or actually Diggs didn't score on that one, but you know what I mean? I didn't think it was the worst pass ever. It was nothing like that end zone pick late. That was just horrendous. I do think that Diggs could have put his hands up instead of just saying, hey, right in the breadbasket, I'm here. You got to fight for the ball too or knock it down or whatever. But it was a good play, I'll say this too, by the defensive player because he got in and knocked it around. But it would have been just nice to check it down at that point. But the three and outs are what really killed us last year. It really killed this last year. And we had too many of them. We just had too many of them. And when you have 34 to 25 for time of possession, and you have eight for 100 penalties, and you have four turnovers, it's not a good look. You're not going to win that many games. And just looking at these stats, Aaron, it's crazy, because if you told me Dalvin Cook had 20 carries for a 154 and a 70-yard touchdown, and we were able to maintain Rodgers to 209, and he didn't have a great day, I would have said, man, we're probably going to win this game. But we did give up, you know, five yards a carry to Jones. They ran the shit out of the ball. They ran it 33 times. And they do have an improved defense, bottom line. So it was just disappointing that way, because you hate to have Cook go for a 150. It'd be one thing if he just got that 75 and ended up with like 98 or something. That'd be a whole different ballgame. But he didn't. We kept running. It is great to see him back to it. And that kind of goes to first half, second half. Like you said, first half, there was literally no time to throw. Second half, there was. Then it opened up. Then we started moving the ball. Right off the bat, like I said, Cousins, that BB play, for instance, that's an off-schedule play that he never makes. It was just so weird that he was on and off. Generally speaking, we get, you know, down on the score. They start to just go after him. They stop the run, and then we're screwed. That's what last year was when we'd lose games, generally. This year so far, it was just different in that BB long catch and run. That was a great play where he's like, okay, I'll just dump it off. And it's like, okay, that's all we need. You to do that two or three times would be just fine. Obviously, it was leading to Diggs, you know, having a touchdown. And let's just focus right there. We had the touchdown, right? And then they try to say Cook set a screen or set a pick, excuse me. Same thing, I guess. But the only thing is, Diggs was on the other side of the field. So it's not like the lineup where you have two receivers on the line and one goes ahead of them, sets the pick, and the other one falls right behind him. That's usually what we see. Now, if you do it super blatantly, you get called from time to time. But you could do it and pretty much play it off and be okay. You can actually block a yard down the field or whatever. But they had Cook, who was actually trying to get off the line and go run a pattern. They called it on him. But then Zimmer in the press conference said, well, it was the second man through. It's like, well, who was the second man through in that part of the – where was the other pick that you were talking about? It was pretty ridiculous. And there was a couple of plays, and let's get right to it. Yeah, 8 for 100 is horrible penalties. We got to cut down on these penalties. You can't win games in the NFL with that many penalties. But two of them or three of them were just like, wait, what? And I'm going to pass it to you, Aaron. A Green Bay Packer fan even admitted openly there was about four or five times this game where I thought, so how is this against the Vikings? And that's coming from a Packer faithful. Now, he also said, I gladly took those, just like you and I would when it comes on our side. But it was just like, all right, we're already on the road. Are you really going to screw us this bad? We got down 21-0. Yeah, Cousins threw that end zone pick late in the game. Yeah, all that stuff. But, man, it was like climbing uphill, not just on the scoreboard, but against the refs all day. I mean, I'm not a guy that blames the refs, but it was hard not to in this one, here and there at least.
Well, now we're talking. It's Lambeau Field. Every time you play there, you've got to beat not only the Packers, but the officials. You're right, that play that Cook in the end zone, it looked like he was running a route, and you're talking about playing it off. Well, yeah, he was stumbling. I don't know how you can play it off any better than that, trying to avoid getting tripped. And then you get the penalty on you. It didn't make any sense to me. In fact, it wasn't even called on the field. It came out of New York, and that's how they call this penalty, out of the thin air, basically, because of the new rules and everything's being watched because of the Saints game last year. So that was an interesting call. Then all the
it was just the timing of the calls too. As you're making a drive, you get a first down, you get 7 yards on first down. Any positive thing that was going to happen or that could be built upon was being squashed by the referees. And you start to think, well, you know, I don't blame that Packer fan for saying what he said. I was thinking the same thing, except, you know, obviously the other side of the coin. But, you know, every time you go and play Green Bay, or a Wisconsin team for that matter, I kind of went on about it last year a little bit with just the kind of Wisconsin bias. It happens in basketball, happens in football, happens in both leagues, NCAA and the NFL. Something about that place that you just can't, you got to beat two opponents up there. And I thought it was really frustrating because I really feel like we did win that game. Had we not got, you know, Diggs got a stupid penalty on taking his helmet off. Well, he did that at the end of the quote-unquote Minneapolis Miracle. There was no flag on that. Obviously, there's a difference in context. But if you want to be, you know, to the letter of the law, then you have to call it when you call it. So I don't feel like they got a good chance. Now, you can't hang everything on the referee. Some things were self-imposed. There's, you know, false starts or whatever. But when you get into those subjective calls, like pass interference, like holding, it kind of makes you raise your eyebrows a little bit about the timing of the calls, and then think about possibly the outcome of what might be stopped.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And, you know, I thought the rule was when there's something obvious, then you go check it out, like what happened in the damn Saints Rams game where, you know, dude ran the fuck into him and it was clear as day that it was pass interference. Now we have the ability to go into the replay and say, yep, you're right. We messed up on the field. Here you go. But when they add in, well, we're just going to take a look at it now all the way around. You know, the old saying that since they've been saying it since we were kids, there's a penalty on every play. There's a penalty on every play. You call holding on almost every single play. So is this what we're going to do now in the NFL? We don't know what a fucking catch is. Now we don't know what pass interference is. Now I will say the pass interference deep down the field, I felt was okay on Thielen. He did do the most of the pushing. Like you said, he actually got a personal fall. They never showed the replay, but he got clipped at the end of the play, and out of anger, he got a personal fall too. So our star wide receivers both did stuff where you're like, nah, you just save it. Just save it. So we definitely had something to do with that. But just kind of as we were mounting this comeback, you know, Hercules from that low snap, he fumbled a recovery, or he got the fumble to recover. Cousins had that deep ball that was just right on the target for that touchdown. And that's that breadbasket thing. The only thing I don't like here, well, we'll get to it. I got some things to say in general, and it's not just about Cousins. But here it is again. Cousins on back-to-back third down completions, like making something happen off schedule. I was like, what the hell's going on here? This is a positive step here coming from behind. Okay, everything's good. Obviously, you know, there was a, you know, block extra point, which why not miss a field goal and get an extra point block? Because, you know, you might as well spread it around. And Cook, here's another play that if Cook doesn't trip on Riley Reiff's foot, he's still running, Aaron. He probably run all the way back from Lambeau Field. We take the lead. It's a different game. So, and, you know, Bradbury, like you said, two holding penalties on him, some dumb penalties on both sides, no doubt about it, of the ball. But two things that I have to say about Cousins that are his fault. He even admitted it. He missed Diggs on that partially deep ball. It didn't seem like Diggs thought the ball was coming to him. And then all of a sudden he, like, did he make it to his spot in time? That I don't know, but it seemed like an overshot to me. I don't know. You know, it's tough sometimes to listen to Zimmer because he's so vague with stuff. He did say there were a couple of miscommunications. And then when you also early in the game, before I just fully dump on Cousins, you know, you can't just look at the completion percentage and make a blanket statement, because wasn't that what we were doing all, you know, so many people were doing last year? Oh, look at that. 70% bullshit. He's just checking down. Well, hold on now. He threw the ball away like several times. in smart times when he should have, you know. Then when we needed him to throw it away, he didn't. And that's where we'll get to. Obviously, we're driving. It's first down and goal. You could sit there and say, oh, the play call, why didn't you just run? Okay, sure, that's fine. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We play action. Diggs is not open. It's not a jump ball scenario. There's no point in throwing it like he did. And the way he explained it was, it was just like, I'm going to throw it to that edge and only he can get it. But obviously that was not the case. And if you're going to throw it like that, then at least throw it up in the air. And here's the thing. We've been looking for that long, lanky dude that can physically go up and get a catch. So before I get into this, that was a horrible decision from Cousins. Garbage. Now, does that mean he's garbage in general? Does that mean the whole day was garbage? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because he actually, if you get your emotion and your passion for your squad out of it, I'm talking to people on Twitter, like, or even on radio, local radio, you got one guy, you know, at 1500 saying, making a case to have Cousins over Rodgers right now. But then the next week, should we bench Rodgers almost basically? Like, well, which one? You made a case. You laid out a case that Cousins is a better quarterback to have right now than Rodgers. But then now the next week you're dumping it. You're ready to dump him. Like, which one is it, dude? You can't do both. But either way, horrible decision to make that pass. And you got to know who you're throwing to. Now, here's the other part of it. Thielen and Diggs are phenomenal wide receivers, okay? They're not the best in the league. I know that's hard to say, especially Thielen. They're not number one, but they're damn good, and they're the best duo. I think that's pretty good, pretty clean, you know, not really debatable. Best duo, great. That's fine. But in the short yardage and mid-yardage, I guess, not the deep bombs, they make, like by the sidelines especially, they make great catches where they, the last 3 years, Aaron, they've bailed out quarterbacks with just phenomenal catches. Now, once in a while, it'll be a deep pass in the end zone where they make a nice grab diving. You know, they make those. They have great hands. I'm not saying this, but when I make this point, you know, I've made it in the past and I got jumped on Twitter, but it's true. They are not jump ball wide receivers in the red zone. They're just not. Why do you think we tried to go with the Treadwell? Why do you think we got a guy who, by the way, we just got him, right? Josh Doctson, and he's on the mend. Just like that. Hey, you want to join the team? Sure. Just sit down for about 7 weeks and we'll get you in sometime. They're not big bodies, Aaron. They're just not. I love them to death. I love them, both of them, you know, for different reasons, but they don't go up and get the ball in the red zone. That's just not them. That's not how they do it on average. And that to me felt like, well, Cousins, it's still your fault. I'm not blaming them, but at least put it up in the air. But that whole situation was just idiotic and a horrible play. And he owned up to it, saying that is a play you live to another day. And that's something he was able to do a lot last year. And just dump it away or dump it down, check it down. You know, I don't care what people are talking about the play call, you know, first and goal, run that ball first. Who gives a shit? He's still got to be responsible for that. Sorry, I had to rant, had to get that off my chest. I'm done.
My turn to rant now. You're right about Diggs and Thielen. They're not the big bodied, fade type of wide receivers. They're route guys. They run great routes, they catch the ball, very good at that. We do need a guy like that, a big body dude who can come up and fight for the ball in the red zone. Now, in saying that, I'm going to give you my overall view of this whole Cousins situation at the moment. Might change, you know, depending on circumstances in the future. But I think, let's start with that throw. As hard as it was to watch, and everybody's talking about decision, my contention is it wasn't a decision, and that's why it was a bad throw. He didn't decide to throw it away, and he didn't decide to throw it to Diggs. He did something in the middle there. And that it's kind of a reoccurring theme with Kirk, is not making decisions, not being decisive. Yeah, you want to see him check down. Those are decisions, decisions that he can make. I think maybe, and I'd like to think this, but I don't know how true it is that we're kind of seeing Kirk starting to maybe take more risks and in mentally, you know, like, okay, maybe I'll try that now. Everybody says I'm too staid. I don't take risks. Well, maybe we saw him try to take risks and came out with a negative outcome. Now, I'd like to see him continue to try, because obviously if you haven't been taking risks, you need to, and you want to, you're going to have to, it's going to take some time to get you to a point to be able to calculate those risks and to know when, okay, this is a good thing and that's a bad thing. So my problem with that pass was that, like I said, it was not a decision. It was, I'm just going to, you know, it just, you could have threw it away decisively, right? You could have threw it to Diggs decisively. But you didn't. You kind of just lobbed it up there and then said things afterwards. It was a horrible pass, probably one of the worst passes I've seen as a Viking fan, and that's saying something. Now, you know, it's not that Kirk, how do I word this correctly? It's not that he takes chances, or that we want him to take chances. It's the type of chances we want him to take, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, when.
You know,
yeah,
right. Right. Calculating risk, you know, that's what gamblers do. They calculate risk. Okay, this is that. You know, he's kind of a church kid. You know, it seems like he's really religious and has a good family and all that stuff. Probably not. I'm not saying he's risk.
I think it's safe to say he's wholesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that can lead to being risk averse. You know, you're not good at taking the risks. You don't do it often enough. You can't calculate, you know, what's a good risk and a bad risk. And that, like I said, that's going to take some time. And I'd like to see him go down that road. Unfortunately, you'd like to see that in training camp or OTAs or something like that, where it can translate. But maybe it doesn't translate. Maybe the Sunday NFL is a whole different thing than OTAs and a whole different thing than training camp. We were told that over and over again, and maybe we're seeing that in practice. So, you know, we got Cousins for what, 2 more years?
And, a year. Well, this year and next. You know, yeah.
And he's got to develop that. You know, Keenum was a gambler. Keenum could throw, and he'd just go and throw it, but he could calculate, you know, what was dumb. And sometimes he'd make a dumb throw, a dumb interception or something like that. But a lot of times his risks would pay off. Now, Favre, he would just, you know, that was pure risk all the time. And sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But I think Cousins is such a staid mindset that, you know, if you're planning out every 15 minutes of your day, which he says he's not doing anymore, but I mean, that is a personality type there that leads me to believe that he's probably a little bit risk averse. Therefore, that pass that he made and a lot of passes that he makes are not actually a decision. And he does get bailed out by Diggs and he does get bailed out by Thielen. But this time they weren't there to bail him out.
That's a good distinction. I like the way you put that. That is very good. And the only, I'm not even ripping Thielen and Diggs that they're not big body guys that can go up. It's not even that. It's they want it in their breadbasket. Like, here, I'm putting my hands out. You know how you catch an over-shoulder pass, you put your hands out like that, two hands up, put it up. Yeah, you're catching it. You can't just say, here we go. Right here, Cousins, or whoever the hell is throwing the ball. You got to go get your arm. Get both arms up there, dude. Like, come on. Like, he can't put it right like that bomb that's whatever, 50-yard bomb. He did put it right in the basket. But still, he could have put his arms up and caught the damn ball and be the first guy. Like, a wide receiver's job is to be the first guy to the ball, right? So it doesn't always have to be the biggest, strongest dude or the biggest jumper. It's timing, too. And that's one thing I'll say about both of them is, for considering the immaculate catches these guys make, it's not about hands. And that's not what I'm saying, people. I'm sure people are going to jump on me again. Go for it, dude. Twitter, let's go. It'll go down in my DM. But anyway, put your hands up, dude. You should put your hands up. It's not always going to be in your breadbasket, dude. That's just, this isn't Troy Williamson, dude. Like, are we going to, come on. Like, just don't do that. But horrible pass regardless. But I did like how you know, deciphered that. And that is a really interesting. And we're also not going to sit here and just dump to try to be the guys that dump on everybody, and that's our shtick for our podcast. Oh, we're just going to dump, you know, negativity sells. We're not just going to do that because it's stupid. And we did bring up, he actually made a couple of, that BB play was a great play for him, off schedule. He made some plays off schedule. Last week he made a couple runs off schedule. So, hey, all right, he's showing he's doing it. Like you said, it seems like he's making it. Now let's see, and it's something that we're going to have to – we're definitely going to have to keep an eye on. and kind of legislate that, because that's going to be huge, man. That's going to be huge. And it's got to be tough when you've always been the check down king to be like, oh, shit, here we go. You know, and I think you made a great point there. I know I've said it like three times, but I think you got it right on the nose there, that he's just like, this is what you want here. I'm just going to throw it. It's like, no, we don't want that though, dude. Like, nah, that's not even a jump ball. You just threw it in a pack of people, dude. Like, nah, that's not how it works. But anyway, anything else with that game before we get into the soon-to-be Las Vegas, Nevada Raiders, sir?
Just a quick aside. I thought, you know, we were talking about Diggs and Thielen. Was it just me? You know, give me your feedback on him. But Diggs just didn't look himself yesterday. Just his whole body language, everything about him seemed a little bit off. And maybe that had something to do with his play. I know he dropped a ball and right. He made some pretty dumb plays. He didn't seem to have the same energy. I can't begin to speculate on what it could be, whether it's a flu or something. I have no idea. But he just didn't seem to look like the Stephon Diggs that you usually see, especially when he gets so hyped up going into Lambeau all the time. And he generally plays very, very well there. It just seemed like he was a little bit off. That might have had something to do with the way the whole offensive game went. So I just want to kind of throw that out there and maybe something to keep an eye on.
Let's hope it's not the hammy. Let's hope it's not the hammy. But, yeah. To me, there's some times when Thielen and Diggs right now are getting a tad bit too big for their britches. Just a tad. Nothing crazy. I know we're humble Minnesota and everybody. I'm not saying you can't be feisty. Shit, I love fight. Kevin Garnett is his name. He's feisty. But come on. Like, it's just a little, like, I can understand Thielen being emotional after he got a little clipped at the end of a play, but that dude ran into him. He didn't mean to do it. He got up and chased the dude, and that's why he got the penalty. They never showed a replay, but I saw it. And I was kind of like, come on, Thielen. Like that, what? And then, you know, stop it off. Then Diggs did the exact, like, okay, there's no emotion. Well, there is actually emotion. It's the opposite. It's the good emotion because he just scored a touchdown, but you gotta contain yourself there. Yeah, there was something just not all the way, but, you know, I guess had that ball been a little on target, not the one in the end zone, but the one before, it was kind of a deep route. He catches that, you know, all of a sudden you go, oh, he's over 100. He had a great day. I don't know. Yeah, you're right, though. There wasn't and Rudolph dropped one and then almost dropped another one, too. Remember, he caught it, and he was like, oh, I'm turning my head. And he's like, no, dude, catch the ball first. But anyway, let's move on to the Raiders. Soon to be their Oakland Raiders right now. This one's at home. It's a high noon game. You know, first week and kind of a slow game to start out with the Raiders in Denver. I think that was the second one of the doubleheader on Monday night, if I remember correctly. They looked good there for a while, like they're clicking on offense. They had it going. The Broncos kind of got back into that game a little bit, 24-16 they won. Then last week they lost 28-10. Really no, no shame in that. You did have it at home. I guess that would be the only bad thing. But it's a team that a lot of people think, are going to go to the championship or at least the Super Bowl or whatever. Or the championship, maybe the Super Bowl, whatever. But Carr did have a lot to say. In fact, here's the quote. The offensive pass interference calls blows his mind. Second interception of the day. There was a flag on offensive interference. He's having problems with it too. he's an emotional quarterback. He's obviously got an emotional, head coach there. They thought they had AB, but they don't. That's probably going to hurt them weapons wise. They still have some good players. No doubt about it on offense. They have probably more people out than us. Hughes is still going to be out. Pat Elflein, we forgot Dozier came in for him. We did hear about Elflein a little banged up right at the end of the preseason and into the regular game. He got hurt in that one. Also, the linebacker, there was a linebacker. Wilson played for Ben. What the hell's his last name? Help me out. The linebacker, Ben, starts with a G. I can't remember.
Ben Gideon.
Gideon, thank you. And then Mackenzie Alexander will be out as well. Now, Terrell Williams, who's a pretty solid player, he's questionable. He's having a big year so far. 11 catches, 151, two touchdowns. He's a big body dude, 6'4", 205. I'll throw in a pause there for calling too many guys big body guys. You know, at home, you know, I feel pretty good about this one. We're going to be tough. That, you know, we got to basically win all of our home games and then steal a couple on the road to get to that 10th win is what it feels like. Maybe we'll go 7 out of 8 and then have to get, you know, a third win on the road. That obviously starts to get a little bit tough. But I like our chances at home going against a squad that is basically, well, you know what? They are good at stopping the run thus far. So I'm really thinking we're going to open up that play action. I really think we're going to open up that play action, and they don't run the ball all that well. So if you can't run the ball on us, it's probably going to be a long afternoon. I think the defense will play pretty damn good. Under 20 points is what I'm thinking. We are the Vikings, 7.5 favorite at home, 42 over and under. I'll let you talk about this game, and then we'll get to our picks, and we'll get the hell out of here. Well, no, we won't. We got to talk about our the comeback kids, the Gophers. What am I saying?
Well, I'd like to think that Lambeau Field would light a fire for these guys. It seems like something the one-eyed Jack, Mike Zimmer, could light a fire with them. And maybe orient them well for the rest of the season, as you know, about handling referees' calls, about handling adversity, things like that. And they come out going on all cylinders Sunday against the Raiders. I don't know a heck of a lot about the Raiders. I know they're a young team, a lot of draft picks. So, yeah, running the ball could be tough against them. But you've got, you know, the offensive firepower, I think, to throw or run against these guys. And as long as the line is decently healthy, and, you know, they actually have been playing pretty well. The new scheme seems to be working out. Yeah, it bogs down in times. And like you said, first down yardages needs to be more. You need four there at least. So, you know, it feels like things are coming together. This thing builds, as we learned last, coming up on the, when we go into the bye and things like that, you can start to self-scout and do the things that you have to do. But this is week two. It's a gradual build, and lost a tough one in Lambeau. Hopefully that lights a fire. And, you know, I guess to make a pick on this Raider game, I'm going to go 28-10 Vikings. I really think they come out firing pretty hot. And I don't know if there's much the Raiders are really prepared to do against a hot team at home.
I was going to go 27-16 or something like that, 27-19 or something. They get a bunch of field goals, but we are in agreement that the Vikings will get the W at home. We're just a different team at home in general. You know, I think, I mean, to be honest, it seemed like the Packers, they got a really great defensive line, and they were supposed to be able to stop the run, and that didn't happen. So, I think really that's obviously beyond a bunch of penalties and turnovers, knock on wood, and missed field goals, knock on wood. You know, I just think we're a better team and we're at home and they'll get the job done. I really believe that, but we'll see. We still got to go out there and line them up 11 on 11 on both sides. So we'll see how that goes. And, you know, if you listen to the Purple People Eaters podcast, basically under the Living in Loserville podcast, what we're trying to just go to. You know, we do talk. We figure it's a Vikings podcast, first and foremost, all day long, twice on Sundays. But we figure there are a percentage of you that do pay attention to Gopher football. And it's kind of all across the board. The good, the bad, the ugly, and the phenomenal. We should have started great, good, bad, ugly, because these three games in the past, since we've been born, and we say that a lot of times with the Gophers, since we've been born, but it's so fucking true. Since we've been born, they wouldn't be winning these games. It's just, these are the games they lose, not win. Maybe 1-2, we would have won one of them. Maybe, but we would have lost 2 out of 3, I think, the way in the past anyway. But it's almost like right now, the way the Gophers closed last year, to me, some of the mentality, you know, we can only talk about vanilla play calling so damn much. Mix it up a little bit. That's not working. Mix it up. I think we're going to see more of that once we get into the Big Ten schedule. That's coming right around the corner. But it feels like it's great to have confidence. We are turning a new leaf here in Minnesota. We are going to be better. The recruits are coming. That's great. But we're not a squad that can just walk on the field and just roll out the ball. We got it. No problem. We can't churn the ball over or just put the thing on the turf. Yeah, you could say, oh, two for two, right? But we lost the ball a bunch of times. Last week, we fumbled 5 times, 3 of them for the quarterback. I mean, we had the ball for almost 38 minutes, and we had 93 yards rushing. Now, we were on our 4th and 5th running back. Obviously, we got to say something about that. We were good on 3rd down, 7 of 14, held them to 2 and 9. That was a good look. The passing is the difference. You know, I do need a little bit more consistency out of Morgan. This whole, well, he's a winner, that's cool, and that's great, but we can't just have you looking good in the fourth quarter either. You know, he's thrown some balls early where you're like, or not throwing the ball, just get rid of the ball, dude. You know what I mean? That type of thing. So we weren't able to establish our run as much as we wanted to. We ran the ball 48 times, though. So it's like, damn. Obviously, a positive was the second half and all that good stuff. But I'm going to let you talk in just a second, buddy. But, dude, like, we're up 14-10. We get up 21-10. And, you know, well, it was before we got up 21-10. We're about to, you know, like, have a comfortable – it seems like we're putting it on ice is what it seems like. And it's just before you know it, you know, fucking scoop and score, block punt, like it just, you know, a fumble off of, you know, I do kind of feel like Morgan's hand was going, his arm was going forward a little bit, but once it's called on the field, it is a bang bang play, even though they have replay, it was a bang bang play. So I can understand that, but it's like we were going to be up by 11 points. And before you know it, we're down. And you're like, okay, so how did this all happen? Now, can you explain this to me? You know, we missed a field goal. It fumble touchdown, scoop and score. And you're like, what the hell is going on? We're down now, 32 to 28. And you're just like, how is this happening? I just don't understand how it's happening now. The beauty of it, 13 play drive, 75 yards, and there was a couple of plays that went, we had penalties, we didn't get that catch on the sidelines, that was really close, did look like he wobbled it barely, but it kind of looked like he had it trapped on his guard. In the end, they won the game, and a lot of people have been wondering where, you know, Tyler Johnson is. Well, he's here in Minnesota still. And he had a big ass game, 10 catches, buck 43 touchdowns, none bigger than that, you know, go get it ball at the end of the game. North Minneapolis, gotta love it. A hometown king getting it done like that. But we can't just roll the ball out and beat these teams. And that's what it kind of feels like. I understand the mediocre vanilla play call, but I just don't like how penalized we've been and how many times you turn the ball over. Super long-winded. Go right ahead, sir.
I agree with you a lot. I think you made a lot of good points with this squad. I'd just like to tell them, you know, it doesn't have to be dramatic. I mean, it's been dramatic in the last 3 games, non-conference games. Now, they're good opponents. I think we're going to see as the season progresses that these are – in their respective conferences and leagues, I guess, that these are 2 or 3 very good teams. Now, they're not Big Ten teams, and that's a
different thing, and that's what we're facing after this bye are real Big Ten teams. I know Purdue is a little bit not what we're used to seeing from Purdue the last couple of years, but you know, maybe we don't want to be the ones that they get it together with. So my concerns really, besides the turnovers, which are obvious and a little bit surprising considering, you know, quote unquote, the ball is the program and row the boat, blah, blah, blah. Row the boat, I guess, shows up at the end of the game when you win it. And so you can't take away three wins that they've had, but it's the offensive line. Now, what confuses me, Chris, is they're going to run this outside zone. Same thing the Vikings are running. And the Vikings went ahead and traded in some big, fat, pardon the, you know, the expression, offensive linemen for quicker guys that can run the zone. Now, we're sitting here with a left tackle that's 410 pounds and 6'9". A guy inside of that, we're trying to run the same scheme with these huge mammoth guys. Now, it doesn't make sense to me, a thought that came to my head, and I just thought, well, you know, don't you want the smaller, quicker guys in there to run that scheme? They're great linemen, and maybe, you know, it's not scheme supported with them, and they're young. They're young kids, but we've got to get more run. Now, we miss Shannon Brooks. I think when he came in the Indiana game last year, he really taught the other running backs how to be Big Ten running backs, and he runs hard. And I'm not seeing that with Rodney Smith. I'm not seeing that. I guess you see that with Mo, but he's banged up. And this Wiley kid I like a lot, but he still is learning how to run the football, and he hasn't even faced any Big Ten competition yet. So I'd like to see Shannon come back, and I think that's a week. He might be back for Purdue. I'm not sure, but it's coming soon. And let him set the tone as a running back because he runs so hard. And I think that's something they need to see as far as the running back and maybe get a little more couple yards out of that offensive line than you would normally get. And then defensively, my question's at linebacker positions, not Coughlin, not the other kid, the tall kid, but Barber. I don't want to, you know, rip on him or anything, but I think we could play a little bit better at that position. And to hold the ball, like you said, 30-some minutes against team is can be sort of impressive, I guess, but you know, you had that game, like you said, getting ready to put it on ice, and then you start making some stupid mistakes, and you know, I guess getting hit hard, you know, while you're trying to throw the ball is not really a mistake, but it just seemed like it started to unfold. And with Tyler Johnson, who had great catches all day, and you know, if we can get Bell to catch the ball a little bit more, target him a little bit, they're not going to be able to double anyone, and it'll kind of be a good situation for them. So, like I said, I don't think they've rolled out everything they want to do. I still think they're holding back a little bit because we just saw Brevin Span Ford walk on the field, and he's going to be an interesting player to watch going into the Big Ten season. So I really feel like they haven't shown their cards, and they just barely got by without showing their cards for the non-conference. So I'm looking forward to the game against Purdue after this bye week and starting the Big Ten season.
Yeah, and we're 3-0. And like you said, they are a quality opponent. And look around college football, look around the Big Ten. Like, these teams have lost to the similar or lesser opponents. So we did win the game. You know, and that is important. There's no doubt about it. We're not trying to, you know, cut that short. But you're right about, like, the offensive line supposed to be a strength. The linebackers supposed to be a strength. And it just hasn't looked all that great at times. We do have to put it together. As far as Morgan, he is hit or miss right now, but it's kind of you know, the wide receiver talent is silly since we've been born, right? The same thing. Since we've been born, we've never had this talent at wide receiver. So that's the difference maker. You know, in years past, it's like we're going to have all of our drives are going to have to be 15-yard drives, you know, like we're not throwing the ball much. And now we can. And to win the way we did was pretty impressive. Morgan, obviously a second-half quarterback. Is he a winner? Yeah, he's a winner. But remember, the last four games last year had a lot to do with the defense tightening up. You know, I mean, let's be honest. They did tighten way up and give our a shot for our team to win. Whereas even when he played early, the first two games, I think, or at least two out of the first three, the defense was garbage for him too. But we do got to keep that in mind with that. So we just need, and it's not just Morgan. He's the quarterback. So sometimes he just needs to get rid of the ball. He holds it a little too long, make it a play, but it's hard to sit there and rip that because he knows, you know, knowing what we have at that wide receiver position, it's like we can make a play. And yeah, like you said, we do have a bye. So we do have a bye week. We're a little banged up. Let's see if they can put some wrinkles in that, you know, either we haven't even used yet. Like you said, we've been mediocre or not mediocre. Well, we have been mediocre actually, but vanilla, hopefully, you know, we add wrinkles to what we already planned on, you know, that we've been practicing. So we'll see. But yeah, it is a head scratcher how inconsistent the offensive line is. Like, we all knew defensive line was going to be an issue, especially when we get into Big Ten, but they're just so up and down. One second we got a big hole, we run through, we get a lot of yards. One moment we got a plenty of time in the pocket, Morgan, you know, puts a perfect ball on somebody. Next time Morgan's running for his life and there's no hole, you know. So it's really up and down, but we'll see if they can straighten that out. Any last words, sir, before we shut this puppy down for the night?
No, man, I think that about wraps it up.
All righty. We're signing off here at the Purple People's Pod. Well, it's the Purple People Eaters Living in Loserville podcast. Let's hope that those Vikings can bounce back and get her done. We'll see you next week. Take it easy. Peace.